Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Girl Powerful podcast. I'm Sonia.
And I'm Teddy.
And today we are talking about our personal health. So, I mean, for the past year, I've really been changing my workout, being really mindful of what I'm putting in my body, cooking from home a lot. But you've recently encountered a shift in your wellness journey, Teddy, and I'm really proud of you. So can you kind of share what's going on?
Yeah, I went a month or so ago and I got a blood panel, which you don't really want to do, especially in your 30s. Like, you kind of realize your metabolism's changing, things are changing in your body. But I also was in tune enough to know something's not right because I was working out a lot. And I was kind of mindful with my eating, not as good as I could have been, but I also felt like it's just time to check in because I didn't want anything to be too far gone to not be able to repair it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got a blood panel. I got the results back. And honestly, unfortunately, there was a lot of red ink on that page with a lot of H's, like in all caps. Like
H meaning high.
High. Yeah. High cholesterol. I'm insulin resistant, fatty liver issues, totally low vitamin D. And then I like realized, like, of course there's like a list of things wrong because once one hormone's out of balance, everything's going to get out of balance.
Right. And what do you think was the root cause?
My eating. My eating. And I've been sharing on my Instagram, I haven't been drinking either. So I think that that's like what this podcast is about with Eden Sassoon today. She's been working on her sobriety for a long time. So I wanted to reach out to her and talk about being sober curious.
Yeah, because when you eliminate alcohol and you see the positive effects that it can have on your brain, which is huge, it kind of filters into, oh, well, does this food make me feel good? Or, you know, like, how do I feel after I consume this? And so I think that's great. We actually paired with Elemental Superfood. They are a protein bar. And they gave us some tips on to follow that are really simple, but sometimes you don't really think about it. But tip number one is we are experiencing information overload. So in the marketplace of food trends, they believe in the power of real functional food that your body actually recognizes. And that's so true. With GMOs, synthetic foods, gums, and fillers, a lot of times what we're putting into our body causes inflammation because our body's saying, what the heck is this?
Yeah, what? This is so far gone from what is natural.
Right. So your body knows nuts, seeds, and nutrients. That can provide sustainable energy through proteins, healthy fats, carbs, and antioxidants.
Yeah, that's something that came up with my lab work and just kind of made everything make more sense of like why I was so tired and on like the depression side of everything the last 6 months is that I didn't have energy because I wasn't eating the right things and my hormones weren't working with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So true. Their second tip is nutrition is self-care. We talk a lot about self-care. And eating is really one of the easiest things we can do for ourselves. So with basic nutrition, it is a basic need. And the simplest thing is to care for yourself from the inside out and to fuel your body with nutrients so we can thrive. And then the third tip is to read your labels or understand labels. So a few things to look for and to look out for when you reach for a bar or any food is to look for certified organic, non-GMO verified, and no natural flavors.
Yeah, absolutely not. Because now that I'm not drinking, it is nice to have something, right? Like a Pellegrino or a Gerolsteiner mineral water or something. And I even read those labels of like about sugar specifically for me because that's what I need to watch.
How many do you know? Do you know like so many grams of sugar is too much? Or you just like
I'm
avoid
just
it completely?
I'm trying to not have sugar. I did
for sure.
I did a number on myself.
Yeah.
But
well,
it's okay.
It's
I'll
your
get
journey
it,
and you're turning it around.
Definitely.
So I'm proud of you. Everybody go check out Elemental Seed Bars and enjoy this episode with Eden Sassoon. Welcome to the Girl Powerful Podcast.
We're two sisters on a mission to entertain
and educate by learning from women who live a purpose-driven life.
Be sure to subscribe and rate our podcast. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Girl Powerful Podcast. Today, I'm speaking with Eden Sassoon, who is a return guest, which is my favorite thing because, you know, you can always dive in a little deeper once you know someone just a little bit more. So Eden is here and we're both going to be authentically ourselves and just share in our own personal journeys and touching on the concept of sobriety and, for me, more a sober, curious lifestyle and maybe why I'm not like, I want to be sober. There's a whole probably feeling about that. But yeah, hi, Eden.
Hi, Teddy. I love you. I respect you and I honor your...
Oh.
No, really, truly, because we have gotten to know each other better over the years. And you're just, you are authentically yourself. And I think that I show up as that too, but it others struggle. So to hear you say that and to watch you show up as yourself, the true you, and go through it, it gives me hope.
Thank you. I think it's also why sometimes people like us like will, you know, dabble in alcohol or like numbing some things, because when people are themselves, it kind of scares other people. So you don't fit in all the time. Do you feel like that could be true?
That's interesting. Yes. It's lonely being authentic, right? And so you have to find your tribe and you have to find those people that you can be yourself with, because I can't show up and not be me.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable for you, you know, then, oh, sorry, not sorry.
I love that.
Right. I mean, I really can't. And, you know, there's so much to be said about that, but the answer to your question is, it's the lonely just being you.
I know I remember when I was teaching, the principal was like, it's lonely at the top, like talking about him being the principal. And I'm like, at the top, like you run a school, but you're like, it is lonely being authentically yourself because you are at the top. Like you're at your highest self. You're meeting yourself where you're supposed to be. So I feel like his phrase of at the top and what you're saying kind of can collide.
Yeah. I mean, what top is relative to anyone's top, right? And if you're right now, I don't feel I'm at the top. I'm literally in the 12 steps of sobriety at step one again. And that's, you know, willingness and acceptance and how powerless I am over everything and anything in my life. Mm. You take the alcohol away, I'm still that powerless against this dis-ease.
Yeah.
And so I'm literally, the first time I was sober was 9.5 years. And then I went out and I drank for 10 months. And when I came back, that's 6.5 months ago, I'm doing things and the steps the way they should be done that I never did before. So I'm learning who Eden is at a basic level that at some point in the last 50 years, I should have maybe possibly learned, but I didn't. And so I have to tell you, it's fucking hard.
Well, why did you start drinking again 10 months ago? You just thought you had a handle on it, or did something trigger you into thinking?
Of course, I want that. What do you mean? If I'm not in God's will, I'm in my will. I got a handle on it all, right? I got a handle on that and this and you and him and her and my dogs. The truth is, I don't have a handle on shit.
Yeah.
And if I don't give into that and understand that and become acceptance of it and take contrary action, which is the right action, which I'm not used to doing, I have had this like unsigned contract with God and it's worked, right? Until it doesn't work anymore. And it's like, okay, I'll give and be for others what I can be if you sort of do the work. Or who's going to do the work, God? Who can I pay to do the work? Where can I find someone to make it easier for me? That is not the answer. And I finally realized all this time what I've been missing is the truth of all the work in all my affairs, right? Mm. Everywhere I go, there I am.
Can you give an example of you like sidestepping doing the work?
like, and thinking you had control over it?
I had two businesses, both called Eden by Eden Sassoon, both run by different people because I paid them to do it. The dirty work, the groundwork, the day-to-day operations. If you own a business, unless you have 10 of them and people are running shit for you, you better be doing your own work, right? If you, for me, I'm speaking about myself. So when I'm talking, for me. And I wasn't. And if I have a home, if I have children, I'm hiring a nanny, I'm hiring a housekeeper. Like, how much of this life am I going to hire out for other people to live?
What do you call a person who speaks three languages? Trilingual. Someone who speaks two? Bilingual. Someone who speaks one? American. Only 22% of Americans speak a language other than English at home. Start learning a new language this fall and be the exception, not the rule. Because with Babbel, you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks. You may be asking, why Babbel? And it's simply because it works. It gives you tips and tools of learning a new language that are approachable and accessible. Currently, I am learning Spanish because I'm going to Mexico and Spain next year, and I cannot wait to be a part of the culture because I can order at restaurants, communicate with taxi drivers, and just immerse myself and actually be in the present moment. So here's a special limited time deal for our listeners to get you started right now. A 55% off Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/girlpowerful. Get 55% off at babbel.com/girlpowerful, spelled BABBEL.com/girlpowerful. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Really That's interesting. Awesome. Yeah.
And so because I can't do the work myself, what am I going to turn to numb that feeling? I turn to alcohol. I turn to food. I turn to men. You name it, I'll go there.
Yeah. What's that connection lost like? Like, why did you not want to show up and like teach Pilates or whatever? Why did you not want to be at the salon?
Great question. And because I'm in the nitty gritty pieces of really starting from ground zero and literally list every day, okay, this is what you're doing today, this is what you're doing today, and getting through with it. I think that I just had this unmanageability, and then one thing would pile on the next, and the next would pile on the next, and the next would pile on the next, and there was no one to do it for me. And because I didn't deal with the first thing, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth became too hard for me to deal with. And sure enough, I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I cannot control this, when in actuality, I can't control anything, but taking one step at a time, one foot in front of the other, right? It's manageable, but I just didn't learn it.
You didn't have the tool yet. That's okay. Do you give yourself grace for that chapter and kind of messing it up?
I am, and I do, and I want to learn these tools, right? Because I could go back and I could beat myself over the head about, you know, the salon and about the studios, and they closed and I wasn't that person. And no, I'm not going to. I'm going to learn from it. People are always like, well, what I could tell you what not to do in a business. I really can't tell you what to do, which is great. Because they kind of are right on that cutting edge of either side. If that makes sense. But then I could beat myself up about, maybe I wasn't, you know, I was a sober mother, but I wasn't in recovery. I wasn't doing the work. And the work is a lot. I think there's been a lot of talk about people being curious around these holidays and what's going on in the world and how we're numbing ourselves with all the different things, right? I mean, that's always what's been going on. But I was talking to somebody yesterday online, DMing. And we were talking about if everyone could just do the 12 steps.
Mm.
Like, literally, it doesn't have to be about drugs or alcohol. It could be about anything. It is a tool that, oh my God, this world would be such a better place.
Yeah, holding up a mirror and just dealing with it. And like you said, step by step, hour by hour, day by day, just checking it off. Because I mean, I think that's the feeling is overwhelmed. Like we all feel overwhelmed by like holding ourselves accountable to these huge dreams or these expectations or limits we put on ourselves. And if you zoom out and make it smaller, like little goals, like you're listing things on paper every day so you can check them off, makes you feel good.
But then I also have to wake up in the morning and realize that like, because I am, you know, in the program of addiction, it's not my will. You know, some people think that they can wake up and just, okay, I can get through this day. You know what I mean? But there's a part of my brain in addiction that like, it's not about me anymore. This part of your disease, the way my brain works and runs is on an own. It comes out of, it's like the 10 gremlins coming at me at once. Right. And my mind's like trying and trying when all I really want to do is come from this place of love, pure love. And like, but I can't manage things when these gremlins are running at me and I don't know how to push them aside. So I just had 10 gremlins running at me at once.
I'm curious are you working with the same group of people this time around, or did you start anew and like find different mentors and sponsors?
I have all new. Everything. I'm doing everything different that I've ever done in my life to even set boundaries with people. Cause I'm like, just walk on me, baby. We got
this. You're loving though. I don't think you need to like discredit yourself for being like a quote unquote doormat. Cause you're not, but I think you want to help. And so that gets confused and misconstrued with the wrong people asking for your help.
Yes. And then me, you know, I have to take responsibility for the fact that I have few boundaries. And so now I'm finding the boundaries with love and what my word means. And then really standing up and representing in solid ground what I'm capable of. Like, imagine if, you know, let's just say tomorrow, not tomorrow, but soon I decide to open another business and I did all the work by myself and it was successful. And like at the end of every day, I wasn't paying my partner to do it. I did it. Right. So take away the business part. Imagine at every end of every day that I live, I got through today with God's power, because I cannot do it alone. I personally cannot do it alone because I am again, the gremlins are going off and having a party. I don't want to be part of it anymore. So it's like at the end of every day, if I can sit back and be like, okay, I didn't hurt anyone. I did what I set out to do. I didn't drink. I loved my children's, the world. You know what I mean? Just give it all that I've got. Then at the end of the day, I did good. And then guess what? I start tomorrow again.
Well, it reminds me, I've told you, I teach Kundalini yoga. And so that's the practice that I am pretty committed to. Like, I'm on day 36 out of 40 leading this journey for women across the country. And the first step to happiness in Kundalini is commitment. And that's what I'm hearing you say about like what makes you feel good.
Oh, I love you right now. Keep going.
Well, that's just the first step to happiness is holding that commitment to yourself, because then you're not, you know, waking up feeling guilty and having to apologize and all those things are like, oh man, even as small as I didn't go to the gym, you know, like that guilt, that gym guilt is insane. It's crazy. That's our own addiction as well, a healthy one. But when you have to have the guilt in that relationship with the gym, I feel like today I was actually talking to someone about that. I'm like, why do I feel like that when I'm still moving my body? I'm being nice to myself, you know, but I'm like not in a HIIT workout class to get all drenched and sweaty and aggressive. Like, why can't I give myself that grace?
Right. As if that's going to be the end all say all, but yet you are, it's, you know what it is? It's between these two ears. Yeah. Everything between these two ears is like, hold on, pause, take it down a few notches, come right heart center chakra, work from there. This place, you know, some days worse than others is insane.
Right. Yeah. I know. So when you said you went back to being sober, practicing the 12 steps, and you mentioned the word truth, like being in your truth more, what is that for you?
Well, now it's interesting because, you know, many years ago, I think we shared I did tattoo years and years and years ago, truth on my arm, but that's all like where you're at in life, right? So it's all like you're a mirror of where you're at to everything. I'm a mirror to the tree that I'm looking out outside my window to where I am right now today. Whereas like maybe it didn't, I guess that's called being present, right? Yeah. The power of now, because doesn't exist and tomorrow is not here yet. So don't future trip. So I guess, you know, right now, today, I woke up, I did my meditation, I did my readings, I went to my AA meeting, had lots of tears, had lots of laughs. I went to Barry's boot camp. I came home, like you gave me grace of an extra half hour to get these tickets for the kids. I had a bite to eat and I was, that's today. That is my truth. I'm being present. I'm being present with my word. I'm being present with my emotions. And that's enough for me.
Love that. Yeah. That's also, I don't know why. I must just be in hyper Kundalini mode, but there's a phrase in Kundalini that we chant or we say we end class with, and it's Sat Nam, and it means the truth is your identity. And I end all my classes saying, we say Sat Nam, and then I say the truth is your identity. Go live it, go be it, go speak it. And I like made up. Yes. That's right. Yeah. I think that that's super powerful for, you know, a guru teacher, which your teacher is you, right? It's like the God inside you.
Right.
That brings you from darkness to light, which we all have in us. And we need to, that's the work every day, really, is darkness to light.
Yes.
These little micro choices we make every couple minutes.
Yes.
To be like, oh, that's me. You know, like that's me over here. We just got to get her over there.
Or you just kind of pause in that moment of like the darkness and say, can we let some light in, God? Whatever that God means and looks like to you. And then the light comes. Oh, my perception has changed. Okay. Right. Just that moment of pause. Like, and I love this idea that you're saying that like where you're, isn't it interesting? Like I'm speaking 12 steps and you're speaking Kundalini. It's the same energy.
It's the same. Oh, it's that love vibration. It's that heart chakra. It's being in alignment with yourself. So all of your energy centers, all of your chakras can lead you to the truth, which is God. Yes. And then we're all beings of God. We're all the same. Yes. We're all friends and family, guys. Why are we so mean to each other? It's because we don't like ourselves that we go out and be mean. It's like, hey, stop.
like the 12 gremlins are coming at you, and being, or actually 13, whatever, and just and you're like, who are you? Because that's not me. Can you please step aside? Thank you. I can take it from here. And then they're gonna come right back and try to get in your way, and you're gonna be like, God, I can't do this alone. You know, I mean, that's how I am right now in my life, sort of working it out.
What has that felt like to you now or in the past when the wrong people are in your orbit? And like, how long does it take for you to realize like, ooh, these people aren't good for me. I'm not good around these people.
I'm very like you, I'm very sensitive to people. So nowadays, like in the last, you know, even before this kind of stint of when I went out drinking, actually when I was out drinking for 10 months, it was game on. Who I didn't care, you know what I mean? Now, I guess we don't have to go way back, but we'll talk about now. Because I'm so sensitive to it, like maybe overly sensitive sometimes, where I'm trying to work on like, it's okay, you know, they're here. Don't put up your wall. Don't be aggressive. Don't be bitchy. Just allow that energy to just be present, but it'll be over soon, no matter what that looks like. I'm quick to it and I'm quick to change it. I can't risk the gremlins coming at me harder for someone else's energy or shit. So I won't.
So you'll just like remove yourself from the situation.
100%.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
What do you feel like? I know like the pressure of the holidays is like upon us, and everyone doesn't have the Hallmark picturesque living situation or love or whatever it is that they wish they had more abundance. Like, do you have any tips for people that, you know, might not be feeling their best, like knowing that this magnifying glass is going to be put on all of our insecurities, essentially.
Well, right. So the holidays are triggers, right? It's this idea of what should be, what should look like, what should feel like, what the da 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 da. Do little things each day to, one, you know, let's get this idea and put it on the shelf over there. Because it's a day-to-day, 24-hour, like, we get to do this now. Okay, so today happens to be Thanksgiving. What can I do different? Maybe can I go give someone a meal? Maybe can I turn on the music and you know, rejoice or sing or dance, whatever that looks like to you. Maybe I can get cozy under a blanket and watch, I don't know, you pick it. Trying to think of the Hallmark channel, whatever it looks like to you. Maybe I'll take a nice warm bath, just the little simple things, because if we continue kind of like leading up to this whole conversation that you and I have had, it's no different over the holidays. It's a 24 hour a day, but it's more pressure because today's Thanksgiving or, you know, next week's Christmas. And it's like, get shelf that shit. Like, what's going to bring you every day? Like, oh my God, it's Valentine's Day. I'm sorry, excuse my language. Fuck Valentine's Day. It should be Valentine's Day every day, full of love, kindness, grace, acceptance, all those things. But no, we have this like manic hamster wheel and all the like, we have to do it. We have to get it. No.
I know. I like that. Kind of remove yourself without like the Scrooge, like not like you're not like, oh, I don't like this. But you're like, I'm going to remove myself so I can then enter in a healthy, controlled, mindful way.
Yeah. And pause, right? So it's like everywhere I go, there I am. So if like, if the holidays are a trigger, then go into it knowing like, okay, I'm a little sensitive. Like I know where I'm at right now. I can't take too much coming at me because I'm learning new tools every day. And I got to tell you, at times like this weekend, I just would sit and cry. And I just wanted to come out of my skin. I was like, okay, I'm not going to turn to anything for relief because that's what I've done all this time. And not just alcohol, whatever it looks like, food. I'm going to sit through this. And holy wow. And I ended up, you know, in the spirit yesterday at Agape, which was just this release and connect.
You didn't fall the whole time. I can't go to church. I'm just like, like I can, but I, when this song and it's so heartfelt and it just washes over you.
Yes.
It's wild. It's wild. I saw you were there. I was like, oh, that would be nice to go to something like that. We have church obviously in Idaho, but I feel like it's like the kind that's not.
Okay. Guess what? So Agape is online every Sunday too.
Oh, cool.
Live. There in the audience, you can go online and we can experience that together. And you will be crying and like feeling it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a natural spiritual high, right? Yeah, if I could stay in that sweet spot every minute of every day. Although then there wouldn't be any lessons that I'm learning. And what is this life all about?
Sure, you're not going to be a monk.
You know, part of me sometimes wishes I was.
You'd probably be a good monk once you got there.
Although, yeah. And then of course, because your mind's so like on the hamster wheel. Oh, I'm finally here. What other hamster wheel can I find to jump on?
Yeah, definitely. Wait, so are you thinking about doing something wellness again?
You know, I'm leaving it into the higher powers that be and really trying to on the daily really get to know Eden. And so if it leads there, if that's what God calls me to do, 100%. If it's definitely in the space with the individuals, right? I love to talk. I love to connect. I love exercise. I love just well-being. I don't know what it looks like, but whatever it does, I'm willing to be part of.
Yeah. But I guess the question too, like, do you even need to really do anything? Like, do you feel like a call, any kind of calling to build something again?
No. I love that you ask these questions. At least today, I don't want that. I want to keep it simple.
Yeah.
I have a dream. Maybe I shouldn't have said it like that.
Are you MLK today? Oh, man. Oh, this could go so many ways, but I'm going to stop.
Oh, fuck. Oh, God, I love you. That just, you know, the beauty of the simplicity of a 20 of just one day at a time. And even maybe it doesn't look that I look like Los Angeles. We've talked about me moving before, you know, maybe it looks like I'm living. And I get to wake up and maybe I have a coffee shop. And maybe I get to talk to people about sobriety and exercise and fitness. And maybe every morning they come back and maybe it's a little bit of like a 12-step meeting when they come to get their, you know what I mean? Like, how beautiful and simple. Or maybe it's work. I don't know where I'm going to end up in this world and with who, but it is definitely going to be a being of service.
I love that. Yeah. I was talking to one of my teachers. We actually interviewed her. I'll have to send it to you. But we talked to her about what destiny meant. And a lot of people would say maybe like the path, you know, to your highest self or whatever. But she said destiny is when you are in service and your service to getting to this compassionate state that you're just like so obsessed with like helping and being yourself and like, yeah, I don't remember the words clearly right now, but it was all about
I have the
destiny and service. And I mean, I love service too. That's who I am as well. And so it's kind of interesting when she said that. I'm like, oh, I'm not on the wrong track.
Oh, you're not. No, you're not.
You know, but you know, like when you're like, you could get all in a weird funk and compare yourself.
They're talking about destiny and they're going, I think that being in alignment with oneself and like truly you can get outside of that hamster wheel, right? By being of service. And so as my sponsor is calling on the other line.
Well, that's good. So what does that look like? Do you check in with them a couple times a day or vice versa? How does that work?
It's been the last 6 months. It's been, the first time around, I didn't want a sponsor. I didn't want to check in with you. I didn't want to call. I didn't want to know why. It's been 5 minutes, like just rawr, you know, and I have to tame the beast. And now, yes, we touch base in the morning. We talk, obviously he's calling me now because I had to share something with him. You know, we check in. If I'm having an overwhelming feeling, if I wanted to turn to something else to numb myself, like food, I call him. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I'm learning how to rely on others because I don't want to have to rely on others, but right. I can't do this myself. And it's in the act of service, right, that we learn to like get out of ourselves. So the program works because one alcoholic and another get to be of service to one another.
That's awesome. How do you pick your sponsor or do they pick you or they have the space in their life to do something like that?
It's attraction, you know, it's sort of like, oh, he has what I want. So in this last 6 months, I actually came in and this is part of learning my character, right? So I'm on my fourth and final sponsor. And I was simultaneously working with one woman to then realize that there are certain things that I don't want that I have to find the next woman. So I turn it over to the next one and she's at a certain place, but I saw what I wanted in that moment. Right. And then I realized, okay, this isn't enough right now. So then I found another one to start walking me through the steps until I found the one that like just in my heart, in my gut, ripping it out, like, and the work is placed in front of me. And it just, it truly for me has unfolded like nothing before. And in that place, like I said, it's really painful, but without me going through this, like, I don't know. And who knows where I'll be tomorrow, the next day or next year. But if I continue day by day like this, I will be a transformed human being at some point.
How exciting.
Yeah, because I'm tired of doing what I was doing, you know?
Right? Isn't that it? You're tired.
Tired. Just tired. So, so on the other hand, because I know you know where I stand, like where you bring up conversations with people that you want to talk about because they obviously are somewhere within you and resonating somehow. Mm-hmm. So we mirror one another in a certain way. So like, what is this idea to you, if I may ask, of this like sober curious and like what's going on? You're in the Kundalini space, which is so magnetic and powerful. And
yeah, I think that,
there's little room.
It doesn't fit.
There you go. There's little room.
It does not fit. And honestly, like, how do you like go out and like party and then I wake up and teach at 6 a.m.? Like, you don't. Like, you can, but you're not getting the same downloads and you're not like saying, leading the class in the same way. It's not, it's unfair to me and to my like students. I'm not like their leader, but they're my students.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
They pay to go. Like, I can't be mediocre or half-assed. That's not where I'm at. I'm 37 and I'm just kind of like, no, if I would have some expectations, I know we shouldn't, but if I was paying for a program and the teacher showed up, whatever, hungover, still buzzed, like, no.
Been there. But yeah. I think they're realistic expectations. They're not, you know, unrealistic. And so usually we have unrealistic expectations of others. But, you know, that being said, if someone's coming to your class, you're absolutely right.
I think maybe a mutual respect as well.
Yeah.
You know, like, I have respect for them to show up every morning and do the work.
Beautiful.
You know, it's not that easy either. Like, and for some reason, even through movement and breath work, you're moving everything stagnant and getting unstuck. Like, you need to have a peaceful, safe, clean space to do that. If your teacher is drinking, I'm not, but you know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, I'm like, this is weird.
No, so that's interesting because Kundalini, the handful of times I've done it or tried it. So I'm so proud of you because it's hard. That is hard. And that energy that you're moving in, that breath with movement and like what, the 3 minutes, 60, I mean, what is going on? That is hard. And so, and then coming from the perspective of, okay, if I came to your class and I'm a sober woman and like, I can sniff it out. Like, I can see it, you know? And like I said to you, how sensitive I am to other people's energies. So right there, I would be like, oh my God, I love her, but like, I just can't. And so I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
But, definitely.
And from your perspective, forget your students. What is your highest self?
Sure.
I mean, sure. Right. Like,
yeah, we're working on the 10 bodies right now. Like, you would normally think like mind, body, and soul, but then there's like the pranic body and the auric body and your neutral mind where I need to practice living in, right? Just being neutral. What is that?
Oh, is that, hold on. Someone was just trying to, excuse me. Okay. See, life happens on life's terms.
Okay. Yeah, so we're just working. I think that was kind of where I also brought in the concept of being mindful.
The neutral mind is
the neutral mind, and then you have the positive mind and the negative mind. We're always battling that negative mind, and then everyone talks about toxic positivity. Like, sure, you want to think big and happy and everything, but the neutral mind is where I want to be. That's peace. You know, that's meditative state. That's everything bounces off me. It's just, no, thank you. So that neutral mind, I would 100% assume that you won't be doing drugs, drinking, eating nasty things. I'm even really kind of mindful of meat right now. I'm just totally kind of shifting because it's like, I can't.
Yeah. I love this.
Yeah. So, and then just like, it affects everything, your immune system, your mood, like, your heart. Like, I want to live a long time. Like, it's like, life's short. It's scary to be like cutting off years or days by drinking a margarita. It doesn't make sense anymore.
And the amount of sugar and the inflammation and you're right. It affects your relationships. It affects everything. Everything.
Yeah. Right. Everything. I mean, how you feel is definitely going to affect your relationships and how you show up in a, you know, romantic or family or friendship. So yeah, I'm just kind of curious and like not having, kind of overcoming being a maniac, like in my 20s, like that's when I really should have been an AA and someone should have like, you know, me with a cane. I was a wild beach girl, and anyone would know that if they were living in Santa Monica. But time has passed, and I have
so if you're listening and you know something, write it in the comments, please, because I want to hear it. No, I'm kidding.
Just, right. You know, the crazy stuff we've all done.
Yeah. But, oh, hello.
Yeah. Just, you know, all things, waking up where you don't want to wake up, all that stuff. Oh,
that was the funny I was going to tell you. So I'm cleaning house, like I was telling you at step one, just the willingness to do my job. And so I went through all this stuff yesterday. I moved in here 2 years ago to my other house, and I had tons of stuff that I just let sit because that's the good addict in me. Just stay there. Someone else will take care of it. Ridiculous. So yesterday was on my list, and I look into like the one, you know, the one pile where you're like, oh my God, there's every love letter, every, there's a letter in red writing. And it said, from the initial was A, and I'm like, who is this? And it said, I didn't want you to wake up next to a man you didn't know. So I left and I put a blanket over you. And I was like, and it was a whole page. I didn't read after that because I knew exactly the night he was talking about. And I kept it because it was the original time I got sober, the original, my last. And I literally, some man that I did not know put me to bed with a blanket and had the decency to write a beautiful note.
Nice.
That says a lot right there.
I know.
But this is what we do. And
yeah. What's California sober? Is that when you don't drink alcohol, but you smoke weed?
That's not sober to me, but that's what they, I guess.
But is that what it is? Or is sober curious the same, like mindfulness with drinking?
I think sober curious is that too. But I've heard California, they say like, oh, well, you're on prescription meds and you smoke weed. But like, No, God, no. Sober in recovery is working a 12-step program.
Yeah.
If you think you can do it without the 12 steps, then have at it. But I pretty much guarantee you're going to be a dry drunk, and that is painful. Painful, because I did it for years.
Well, it sounds like when you were willing to be honest with yourself, you figured out a lot.
It's a daily thing, right? I mean, this is all I got is today, and tomorrow's there's going to be new honesty and new emotions. And I'm realizing that these feelings that I have that are intense, it's just an overload of information coming to me at once. And I'm like, holy shit, what do I do with all this? Oh, I'm having a feeling. Okay. This is trying to tell you this. And now you can act accordingly, right? And take action as opposed to victim and the gremlins coming out and the food and the drink and calling the guy and all the other BS that goes along with it. When it's like, pause, you're having a feeling and this feeling is trying to tell you something. Are you going to learn from it? How are you going to respond and not react? Like really basic things that I just never learned as a child.
Yeah. Love that. Respond, don't react. Yeah. It's huge. It's social and emotional learning though. And no one was taught that. Like no one was until like now.
Thank God they're starting to, but now we're on overload. Now we're to AI and like, it's way too much information for everybody.
Well, that's true. It's scary. I think that's my weird, like, prescription to myself with AI and everything is like, oh, let me just find an ancient technique and then go in my room and close the door and light some candles and do some breath work.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But we need to all find our own prescriptions, like that, you know, like yours and mine are different. Everyone can look different. This or every morning you're sharing your Jesus Calling book. What is that book that you're?
So beautiful. It's literally Jesus Calling, and each day it has a, I keep them next to my bed. I'm going to go over here. And each day has just a different way of sort of getting in touch with God, you know, and what that looks like. And it's like, these four books every morning to me are like everything.
Cool. Yeah.
And it really kind of just gives you a note. And if you go and you open to like your birthday, you know, like here's my birthday. It's really interesting.
What's your birthday?
My birthday is June 19th. So like the original, it says, I am the firm foundation on which you can dance and sing and celebrate my presence. This is my high and holy calling for you. Receive it as a precious gift. How weird. This is my birthday. Glorifying and enjoying me is a higher priority than maintaining a tidy, structured life, which is what I was doing, right? Everything seemed right. It was okay on the outside, da, 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 but no. I mean, it just goes on. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, I have one similar. I have Paramahansa Yogananda, though.
Okay, read your birthday.
Read my birthday. I'm February 17th.
Ooh.
Ooh, look, remember I brought up darkness earlier?
Yeah.
If in the darkness the mind never wavers, if love and longing never grow weak, it is then that you prove to yourself that you really have the love of God.
See?
Yeah, pretty cool. I mean, that's a tip in itself, right? Like, read something beautiful and inspiring in the morning. Don't just go to Instagram bullshit and like,
oh, well, you know, don't you know that.
It's, you know, that's what it is. It's like, hey, I'm going to get on there and disconnect from my reality and like prolong the inevitable, like push off the work.
And the first 10 minutes, 20 minutes of your day are like so important. And the last, you know, like how do you, now I sleep with my TV. It's like the black screen of the frequency. And so like I pick it at night and I play it all night long and I just go to bed like a baby. And then in the morning, of course, the gremlins come out and want to play. And I'm like, hold on, I got to talk to God before I let you fuckers at me because this is too much. And then I read my books and I do my meditation and I can sort of set myself up and check my temperature.
Awesome. But,
and truly, honestly, it's a different kind of work than I've ever experienced. I mean, we can go through each day pretending that like, oh, this is life and blah, blah, blah. But I choose not to live like that. Like I have to get in. I have to do the work. Obviously, my life has not come. It's just an idea. I'm not living in my authentic true self because I would be where I want to be. And that's working with people on a day to day. And that's being of service on a day to day. But what's in between me and that? And that's where I'm at, figuring that out and getting it out of my way.
Love that. All right, Eden, where can people find you?
I love you. I'm just on my Instagram and I do respond and I do, you know, try to share hope and love there. I just at my name, Eden Sassoon. I love you.
I love you back. And one more thing. We asked you this a long time ago, but what makes you feel most alive?
Love, which you is God. God is love.
I learned that your hands are an extension of your heart. So when you hug people and high five them, it's like you really mean something. You know,
I love.
So anyone at the gym that's like doing the fist bump, I'm like, let's just pass. But anyway, thank you for your time, and I'll talk to you soon.
Love you, beautiful. Thank you for your sharing all your messages with me today. And that I love that we're mirroring one another.
I love it. Thank you, Eden. Bye.
Bye, beautiful.
Thanks to our guest. For more information on her, see the show notes.
Please hit subscribe if you have not already. That way, a new episode is delivered directly to your feed every week.